Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
I think Blaine has a good rapport with the tight ends. I think it's a pretty darn good group of tight ends.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Today we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 45-16 loss to the Bills, but first I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Steve, what can you say about the 49ers? They continue to have issues as they get blown out in this one, but it was a close game until midway through the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Bills turned it into a blowout, and it was kind of surprising, actually, that it was a close game because the way the rush defense was, again, another 100-plus rusher for the fifth consecutive game, and LeSean McCoy pretty much had his way against the 49ers. It's really hard to win games when you can't stop the run. I mean, it's kind of like a broken record right now, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, what I can say is that it's not the quarterback.
Right.
that I can say definitively.
We'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah. I know. So I'll just leave that right there. We'll get to it later. But I guess it was a pretty good first half. Even though they gave up 106 in the first half.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's not necessarily good, which has been their struggle, stopping the run. And then I watching the game, and I was watching it with my wife, Tina, and I said, the defense is tired. They've been on the field a bunch, and this was like maybe beginning of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah,
you know, she's like, "Well, how can they be tired? You know, they're supposed to be able to." I said, "Well, this is part of the problem that offense. You go three and out a few times in a row in that offense, and any offense really, not just that offense." You know, if you can't maintain drives offensively, then all of a sudden your defense is on the field a lot.
And yeah,
it didn't end up that Buffalo had that many more plays than the Niners, but at one point it was pretty lopsided.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, yes, it did turn into a blowout, and yes, they couldn't stop the run again. But again, it's all about the quarterback and changing the quarterback, but that didn't make any difference.
No, yeah, we'll get to that. But yeah. I mean, the thing that I look at as far as just numbers that are ugly, giving up 491 total yards, 312 on the ground, not just McCoy, there were other runs being made, 7.1 yards per rush. You know, the quarterback's running, Taylor. This other running back, Gillisley, he's running well. He ended up with 60 yards. So there was just a lack of tackling. Yeah, there were some holes, but there were times where it seemed like they could tackle the running back maybe for 4 or 5 yards, and then he gets 15 or whatever it is. What do you think? Is this a fundamental issue? Do they need to hit the tackling dummies talent-wise? I know they missed Navarro Bowman a lot and other players, but what's going on there in your mind?
I don't necessarily see anything that jumps out at me. But when you when you're watching the game on television and you watch some of the replays, they're just getting beat at the point of attack. I mean, some of those runs, I can remember going back to that first Seattle run that was like every guy for Seattle was in the right position. Every guy for the Niners was, not that they were in the wrong position, but they were beaten by the linemen from Seattle. And I saw a few of those replays on Sunday against Buffalo, kind of the same thing, where at point of attack they just got beat. You know, people linebackers are taking on the lineman with the proper shoulder in the proper spot, but they're just getting beat. But, you know, mano y mano, period. The other point that I was going to make is you were kind of asking the question and going to the numbers. All the numbers you gave, but the one again that jumps out at me is I think the Niners were 3 for 15 on third or fourth down. They had one fourth down play that they didn't get. So you add that in there.
Yeah, 3 for 13 on third and 0 for 2 on fourth. So yeah, 3 for 15.
Okay, so
yeah.
3 for 15.
Right.
That you can't win games. Period. I don't care who you are, what offense you run. But going back to the point of offensively, you have to be able to hold the ball, keep the ball, and keep the defense off the field. You know, the best defense is a good offense. But 3 for 15 is unfortunately not going to get it done. To be a winning team, you have to be at 50%.
Yeah, no, that's a glaring issue. I think that's been an issue for a couple of years now.
No, it has been. It has been. As I was watching the game, kind of end of the third, beginning of the fourth, I thought to myself, oh, you know, third down, they're not doing too well. And then, you know, I went and looked at the stats quickly and on my phone, and, you know, there it is, like 2 for 11. Like, okay, that's why.
Yeah.
You're not maintaining drives. You're not moving the chains. Let's face it. Yeah, they missed Navarro. But I just think they're not built for run stopping up front.
Doesn't seem like it.
You know, they're built for pass rushing with Buckner and Armstead. I mean, those are long, you know, long. I've been calling them as I'm watching the game with Tina, you know, calling them the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're long, lean, lanky guys that are built for pass rush, not necessarily to stop the run.
No, and they combined for that great play early on. Remember the
fumble
that Armstead caused
and Buckner
fell on. And he got right in the backfield. You could see that burst that Armstead has.
Yeah, yeah. No, not that they're not good players. I think they are pretty good players, and I think they're going to be very good. But that's just not their. That's just not their strength. You know, and again, we've talked about that they don't have Ian in there. Ian Williams, that is. you know, Dorsey's been banged up, and I mean, it's a struggle.
And it is.
I mean, you know, you got drawing a blank on the linebacker's name.
Well, you got Ballure now in the middle there. Yeah,
Ballure. I mean,
he's making a lot of tackles.
He's making a lot of tackles. He's busting his butt, but he's just seems to be an undersized guy. If a lineman gets on him, he gets manhandled.
Yeah, and then it turns into a big gain.
Exactly.
And there were some big ones. I mean, there were rushes like 38, 44, 21. I'm just looking at the long gains of some of the running backs. It was just tough. And the reason why I bring up the defense first on this podcast is because I'm not saying the 49ers would have a winning record right now, but I'm looking at the amount of points that they've scored, and they could be winning some of these games, you know. I mean, they were in this game, and we're going to talk about the offense, trust me, but you're giving up 45, 33, 24, 37, 46, going back the last five games. You're not even giving yourself a chance to be in the game. You're just not.
Right. And you and I talked about from the defense from the beginning that you know we were worried that was going to be the weakness, that in order to win some games, you know, we might have to score, you know, 48, you know, or 42, and unfortunately that's the case right now, and offense isn't good enough to do that yet.
No, and they're not running the ball well. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, Carlos Hyde. It seems like they can't find holes for him. He hurt his shoulder in the middle of the game. Kaepernick ran well when he could. He ran 66 yards. He broke some of them open there, and that's kind of his style. But
right. But
you've talked about it many times on this podcast that if you're not going to get your 5 or 6 or 7 yards on first down running the ball, I mean, it's really going to put you behind the eight ball.
Yeah, and I had hoped that the difference would be Cap's running. May have been a little bit for the first half, but one of the times that he took off running, he actually had a tight end open, you know, kind of right in front of him, 10, 15 yards down the field, and he just, you know, took off running, and the floodgates opened. But it didn't really make any difference.
As the San Francisco 49ers podcast with Joe Castellano and Steve Bono continues, there's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for Tee Time Deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park.
Well, let's talk about Colin and the game that he had. I mean, a lot of people want to compare it to what Gabbert was doing, but if you just take it as, you know, here's a guy who hadn't played. He might have been a little rusty. His numbers aren't great, 13 of 29. He did have some drop passes, but he also had some wildly inaccurate throws, not ones that were going to get picked off, but just you just go, wait a minute, what was that? You know,
and he
definitely missed a touchdown to Torrey Smith. He definitely tried to get the ball to Torrey Smith more, it seemed, than Gabbert would be. I don't know why that was the case. So what did you just think overall of Kaepernick, forgetting about that there was another quarterback before him? Just what was your evaluation of him in this game?
I think he played okay. He seemed to have a little more rapport with the receivers than he did with the tight ends.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if the tight end even had a catch. Yeah, there might have been one. McDonald may have had one.
Yeah, that was a pretty good catch,
You know, whereas Blaine seems to have more rapport with the tight ends than he does with the receivers, it seemed that they did try and take a few more shots to Torrey vertically. As you said, Cap didn't have that accuracy down or wasn't able to connect with Torrey other than the one which
The crossing route to Torrey on that one, and then the touchdown, which was a 53-yarder.
Yeah, I mean, the touchdown
kind of underthrew it.
I mean, yeah, it was actually not a good throw.
No, it was kind of underthrown.
Busted coverage and. Actually, not an easy catch for Torrey to come back and make.
Right.
That ball, that type of catch coming back like that where the receiver's bent over and he's catching the ball between his legs, usually gets dropped because, in my mind, there's, you know, the hand position is awkward.
Right.
You know, maybe, because you're almost feeling it like a ground ball.
Yeah, so he made it tough on him, and that was a busted coverage, an easy catch.
Totally busted, easy
throw,
Yeah, he was able to come back a few yards and get it and use his speed to...
Right, it should be an easy play.
...score a touchdown.
Yeah.
I guess, obviously, Chip thought he played well enough to start again this week, even though it seemed somewhat reluctant the way he said it. But
Well, let me ask you flat out. I mean, the comparison, what do you do if you're Chip Kelly? What would you do? Because, you know, everybody's putting a lot of emphasis on the quarterback situation right now and the way they're playing, and they're different guys.
Yeah. I'll preface it by saying that I'm partial to blame because I think that he's worked hard to earn that spot. Has he played great this year? No. Has he played bad? No. But I think that because Chip already made the change, he probably needs to stick with Cap for right now. You made the change. Cap didn't play bad enough to take him out. He didn't play great enough to go, oh yeah, he's for sure a starter next week. Like I said, he seemed somewhat reluctant to announce him as a starter, but I think he probably needs to stick with him for right now. I mean, and see, you know, see what he can do this week. My hope would be that the difference maker is that he can take off two or three times and make a huge play.
Yeah, I see that as being a difference. I personally would stick with Cap. I just see a higher ceiling, but I did want to ask you about some of those throws that he made. You know, some with Gabbard, I was just looking at it and couldn't believe it. Like, how did he make a throw like that? And the same with Cap, like, because in the past, it seems like, if you go back, you know, a few years ago, when he was making some of these throws, it seems like he's regressed as far as his fundamentals. I don't know. What do you notice? Because they were talking about him throwing off, you know, the wrong foot or something, but it didn't look like, it looked like he did stick his foot in the ground, and then he just made a terrible throw. I couldn't figure it out.
Nah, I thought he was off balance a couple times.
Okay.
And then he's a tick late, and then he tries to launch it, and you know that's where I thought he overthrew a couple. In this offense. I thought when they hired Chip that, okay, this is going to give Cap a chance to play in this offense, who's probably best suited for it. If it were me, yes, I would probably be trying to push Cap to play. I don't know if I agree with you that there's a lot of upside. Maybe there is in this offense. I just don't think that Cap sees the field that well. But in this offense, I don't think he has to see the whole field. Whereas Blaine, I don't think it's a great offense for him. If I were coaching Blaine, I would put him under center. You know, I would have pretty traditional offense around him, where he can play in, try and play in rhythm. You know, as maybe we used to do. You know, have two backs in the backfield. Be changing personnel, but most of his throws being drop back rhythm throws, even though he never really played under center. To me, if I were coaching him, I feel like what I would always want to work on was trying to smooth out his delivery. You know, and we've talked about that when he gets himself in trouble, that he sees something come open and he rushes his throwing arm, as opposed to being quicker with his feet or his body.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like a pitcher just being out of sync in his
totally
in his you know, delivery.
You're trying
mechanics.
To throw you're trying to throw the ball harder by speeding up your arm, which doesn't work.
And I guess Cap has a different mechanical problem because, like you said, off balance, not seeing the field, that means he's going to miss receivers. But he just, I don't know, there's something mechanical wrong when he rolled to his left that one time and he just completely missed Curly when he could have made a good throw. An NFL quarterback should make that throw.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't see Cap being as much of a rhythm passer. He won't be as accurate as to your point of being a normal, you know, looking like you're an NFL quarterback. I think he is going to miss some of those throws that he should hit, but then he's going to make a, you know, just some ridiculous throw that 90% of the people can't make.
Which we saw a couple of years ago across the field, yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, because he has, just because of his arm talent, his, you know, that loopy delivery, certain things are harder to throw with that delivery and other things that, you know, require ridiculous strength, he can get out of that. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he does. Yeah, he has strength in his arm. There's no doubt.
You know, so I guess overall, yeah, I can kind of see why. I can see why Chip would want him in there. And going back to my point of, I was hoping that the difference would be Cap making, you know, a couple of huge plays with his legs. Maybe it's still to come. I don't know. It's one game back. He hadn't played in basically a year.
Yeah, he definitely he was
almost
rusty.
Almost a year.
He was rusty. One thing I'll give him credit, I kind of agree with Chip Kelly. He said that he thought he kept plays alive when the protection broke down. He kept the play alive, and that's something I don't think he did last year hardly enough. I mean, he got sacked a lot, and this time it seemed like he kind of felt the pass rush and got away, you know, several times.
Yeah. He did. I would agree.
That one where he was going to be in the end zone for a safty,
that was
dead.
A heck of a play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's one that I don't think most guys can get out of. Maybe Roethlisberger.
right.
But yeah, I thought for sure that was a safety.
How about some of these comments, Steve? Stephen Gilmore, a cornerback for Buffalo, said when it comes to passing the ball, he can't really throw. And then there was a Bleacher Report quote that this was actually an unnamed player. I hate that because then you don't know who it is. But he said Kaepernick's done, terrible, more of a distraction than contributing to the team, than a contributing member to the team. So that makes me wonder, you know, you hear about these other players from other teams saying that kind of stuff, and I don't know if they're taking into account Cap off the field, his stance again with the anthem, kneeling, you know, all that. I mean, does that all kind of come into play with these other players? Is that fair?
I would say that the second quote, the unnamed source, in my mind, was pretty accurate so far. I mean, if he continues to keep playing and he's contributing and he's making plays and they're, you know, maybe they're not winning, but they're, you know, in closer games, then I would say I'm wrong and that guy's wrong, whoever made that quote. But
right.
for the most of the season, he's, in my mind, he's been a distraction.
More than a contributing member of the team, right?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that changes. I know that some of the quotes early on from some of the guys after he initially took a knee in the whatever that first game was when he took a knee in the national anthem, you know, some of the 49er guys had said that, you know, this issue had brought them closer together in the locker room. Which,
right.
If that's the case, you know, great. Because, you know, I personally couldn't see that happening, but I hope that that is the case, that it did bring them closer, because they're going to need to be closer to to get some wins.
Well, I think the thing that's hard for everybody is trying to separate what he's doing with the kneeling and what he's doing on the field, because you're going to hear some comments. Don't you think that some of those comments are influenced by how they might feel about what he's doing, you know, there? Because I think that's the case with anything in sports. You know, I mean, honestly, Steve, I love watching Barry Bonds, but then when you hear about the steroids, it's like, oh, I really didn't like that. So then it kind of makes you, you know, you're kind of torn. You love watching a guy play, and
right.
you appreciate it, but then you've got this other issue that's separate from what they're doing on the field.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I'm you know, all for him having a stance, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's you know, it's not about you; it's about the team. When you're
right.
when you're part of a team, and it's hard enough to. I know we've said this. It's hard enough to win in the NFL when you are focused together. But to have, you know, three guys kneeling and four guys holding up a fist for Black Power, and you know, the rest of the team standing at attention, or, you know, that doesn't make for a unified team to me.
Yeah, it makes it so it makes it a little tricky for the head coach. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
What do you think about him after six games? I mean, obviously he's going to get a lot of criticism being 1-5, but how much of it is Kelly? How much of it is just, you know, the injuries and what this team's doing right now, and even the talent level?
Yeah, I mean, he you know, he from things that I've heard from the guys, that they like him, and they he's very focused. He's very you know, thinking outside the box, trying to find every advantage possible. He seems to be a pretty good guy to me. I've met him a couple times. I just don't know how much talent there is. And if it's the, you know, the best system, for the talent that he has.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see if he can get him going. And now
yeah,
that
I hope so. I hope so. as do obviously lots of 49er fans, and does the organization want them to get going?
Well, next up is 2-3 Tampa Bay, and they've got a really good running back in Doug Martin, who had 1,400 yards rushing last year, second in the NFL. Another guy that's going to be tough to stop.
Yeah. Hopefully offense can maintain the ball, you know, and possess the ball and move the chains, have some long drives, and come away with touchdowns, and try and keep the defense off the field. I mean, keep them. They're already have played more plays than anybody else in the league, from what they were talking about during the game.
And you knew that with a Chip Kelly offense, that the defense
yeah, yeah.
would have to work hard because the offense is quick.
Yeah. But you know, it's not as fast as I think everybody thought, or maybe as fast as it was when he was at Oregon or when he first came into the NFL.
I agree. I think it's more. You're not getting first downs. I mean, it's when you're punting.
Well, that's. I mean, that's what I was earlier. That's what I was saying. That whether it's this offense or any offense, if you're 2 for 50 or 3 for 15 on third and fourth down, you're just not going to win the. You're just not going to win games because
no.
you can't maintain drives. You know, you can't continue drives and score points. You know, you're 3-and-out. I don't know how many times they were 3-and-out, but it had to be. It had to be at least a half a dozen times. The third quarter was all 3-and-outs for both teams. I mean, there were 5 punts, maybe 6 punts in the third quarter, you know, between the two teams.
Yeah.
Defenses
took over all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't matter what offense it is. You can't, you can't win games if you don't convert on third and fourth down.
No, and now they got to play a team that just had a bye too. I mean, so that's the other thing.
Yeah,
you got a team that's fresh,
yeah.
coming in to Levi Stadium on Sunday. Well,
yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if the 49ers can get things going here, get a turnaround before they have the bye the next
week. I hope so.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Look forward to next week.
All right, thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next week. We'll talk about the Niners game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.